Welcome to Technogram, Weddington's podcast channel, where we unlock next in technology with untold stories from the tech world. I'm your host, Janice, and today we're recording from Ditex Nigeria in Lagos. In this episode, we have Rachel Edeshina, who is the group CIO at First Bank of Nigeria and is a respected leader in digital banking and transformation. She combines technology leadership with the people-first approach, guiding one of Africa's oldest institutions into the digital future. Let's dive into her story. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. It's our pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Can you tell us a little bit about how did you start your journey into the tech world?
Okay, interesting. So I'd gone to school to study maths because maths was one subject I was very comfortable with in secondary school. So when I got to University of Lagos, where I studied maths, we're in the same department with computer science students. And for some of my electives, I took courses in computer science. And I was amazed with what I saw. And at the time, I'm talking about early 90s. It looks like, oh, this is going to be the next big thing. So when I came out of school, I had intention of going back to do a PGD in computer science, but as fate will have it, I sat for an exam in an IT firm and I passed. And so I joined the tech world. And I must say it's been an interesting journey. It's a kind of field where new things happen every day. And that is something that, you know, by my nature, I like challenges. And so I've been there now for, I think, over 2 decades, and I'm still counting.
Wow, so inspiring. I want to talk to you about Africa's story, right? Africa has the advantage of leapfrogging when it comes to technology. So from where you sit, from your position at First Bank, what does that look like?
Okay, first let me tell you about First Bank. Just an institution that has existed for 130 years.
Wow.
Okay, I think this is our 131st year now. And so what has kept us is our ability to embrace new things, to reinvent ourselves through the ages. And for us, about 10, 15 years ago was pivotal for us because we looked at the time, a lot of our customers were served via our service outlets, our branches.
Okay.
At that time, digital was coming and we saw ahead that, look, people were going to transit to an era where people will want to be served via digital channels. And so for us, leapfrogging means adopting modern technologies to be able to serve our customers where they want to be served. So at that period, I think we're having like 2 billion transactions in a day, 90% of it happening in branches. Fast forward to today, where over 90% of our transactions are happening in digital channels.
What a huge change.
A huge change, a huge transformation. But what has helped us to be ready for that transition was adoption of digital technologies like cloud. And now we see AI. Back then it was about big data. It was about taking advantage of the technologies that were available. And let me give you an example. Back in the days, you know, you sell promotional campaigns. I don't know whether you have received such from the banks that you deal with, where you'll be given propositions or come and purchase a mortgage.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you are not really qualified for that mortgage because your earning capacity at the time, you know, is not one that can take such a huge mortgage. But with the technologies we've deployed now, we can send you offerings tailored specifically for you. So it's not mass promotional campaign. It's about giving you things that really matters because we now have data about you. Courtesy of the investment in big data, we're able to crunch that data. We know your earning capacity. We know your preferences. We know the things that you like to do. And so the offerings we give you are things that are tailored specifically to you. So in terms of customer experience, we've taken advantage of technologies that allows us to know where our customers want to be served. For some, they want to use their mobile devices. For some, it is the internet. For some, they still want to go to the branches. For some, they want to operate through the web. Now, our investment in big data technologies has helped us to know where exactly. That has helped us to also drive down the cost to serve, because now we are being specific, we are being deliberate. The other area where we have leapfrogged is in the area of financial inclusion. I think we're one of the, not that I think, I know that we are the bank that has the most branches in Nigeria. So we have presence in almost all the local governments of the country. But then, even at that, there were still some people who did not have, at the time, had access to financial services because they were in remote locations. So for instance, let's say Ekiti State. I'm trying to look for a state that is up north. Okay, let me take, not Ekiti State, let me take, say, Jalingo. All right, maybe we'll have a branch.
Yeah.
All right, in the capital. But then there are some rural communities that will still have to trek down to the center for them to access service. So years ago, we started our agency banking business. And the agency banking business were able to do it because of availability of digital technologies. And so what we did was to set up agents. We empowered those agents. They were then offering banking services to the people in the rural communities. And today we have presence in all the local governments of the country. We have over hundreds of thousands of agents offering banking services because we now have a technology platform that can drive it, that can drive cash withdrawal, cash and deposits, liquidity management for the agents. And so that is one area where we have also leapfrogged.
And you're able to also customize these offerings for the rural communities.
Exactly, exactly. So for some communities, the need for that area is getting credits, macro credits. For some, it is for them to deposit. For some, it's about withdrawal. So the agents are empowered to offer this bank. So you need not come to our branches again to have access to banking services. And then we have lots of, in the last 3-5 years, we have lots of Nigerians who have moved abroad, all right? But they still want to do banking services. They have relatives in Nigeria. For these people, they have access to our banking services via the mobile apps, you know, via our internet banking. So even though they are far away, they still are able to take care of their financial needs, courtesy of the services that we have available on our digital channels.
Can you give me an example with AI? How have you changed anything?
Fantastic. So for AI, for us, we've used it in a couple of areas. In fact, more than a couple. Couple is two, right? More than two.
Right.
All right. So in lending, prior to AI, for you to be eligible to take a facility, we'll ask for tons and tons of paperwork. We want to see your financial statements. We want to see, we go to credit bureaus to ask, what are your spending patterns? Have you been defaulting on loans to other lenders and all sorts? Then we pack it. We give it the loan. 6 months down the road, you come back. You want to take a loan. And then we go through all of that exercise again. But what AI has helped us to do is that we tap into these various ecosystem players, get the data, and in a matter of minutes, we are able to determine whether you are eligible for the loan or not. On our first mobile app, we have a lending service where, as we speak, people are assessing loans. Eligibility is done in seconds.
That's amazing. I mean,
disbursal is done in minutes.
It's unthinkable a few years ago, right?
This wasn't possible years ago without AI. It would take a while before all of that processing is done. But today it's done in minutes. All right. So that is one area that, it also helps us to predict what's the probability of default for this customer. Yeah. Is it going to take our money and walk away, or is the money going to come back? All right. So AI has helped us in that area. Then AI has also helped us in fraud detection. All right. So, is this a potential fraudster? we check the patterns. Are there outliers? Are there things that are suspicious about these transactions? So we use AI. Before AI, we had tons and tons of analysts who are wading through data, who are checking, who are crunching things. But AI has helped to lessen that. And it has also helped us to reduce the false positives, all right? Back then, we were half and we are wringing our head, okay, maybe we need another super analyst to take another look at this. But with AI, you know, the comfort we are getting, the outcome, the predictions are
very
precise. Yeah, very accurate. So that is good. Then we also use AI in AML. That's anti-money laundry stuff. Again, so it's similar to fraud detection. We're looking for suspicious transactions because fraudsters are very smart people, all right? So they know the rules that, oh, if you do a transaction above a certain threshold, you are likely to be picked. So they spread the numbers, all right? But with AI in AML, we are able to outwit them. So we're able to know, look, all of this transactions coming from these various sources from the same customer, going to various sources, AI is able to put them together and some other algorithms and then come up and say, look, this is a suspicious transaction. All right. So that is one area where we use AI.
As the group CIO, cybersecurity is top of your mind, right? So AI is also helping you along those.
Yes, it is.
And what is the appetite for customers when you are transforming into digital platforms and areas? What is the appetite that you see from the customer?
Okay, so in First Bank, we have a slogan. We say you first. All right, that is the customer first. Everything we do, every investment is about the customer. Is how can we serve this customer in a better way? How can we make interaction with the customer very seamless, very easy? And so when we want to do anything, we ensure that we engage our customers. Solicit their feedback. Every major IT initiatives, we have what we call friendly customers. We engage them. This is what we want to do. How do you feel? Do you think this is something we should go into? We get their feedback.
Okay.
Mix that. And, you know, the final product is shaped by the feedback we get from these customers and some of the things that we also pick in surveys with them. And from time to time, you know, we run surveys on a monthly basis. And we have over 20 million customers. But we run surveys every month, trying to hear from them. What do you think? How do you think you can shape this service or product in a better way? What are your frustrations with this service?
Yeah.
All of that we do with them. And so we go back and say, you have spoken, we have heard, and this is the outcome. And then where we think that, because typically the average person is resistant to change. So we try to do a lot of communication. We do road shows. I think last week we were at Sheraton. We had a customer engagement to tell them that this is what we're doing. This is what we have had you say. This is what we have done. So, and then we have what we call ambassadors,
right?
Picked from the customer base, who then having, you know, use the service that are comfortable, then help us to spread the word. So we make sure that the customer is involved every step of the way.
Wonderful.
When we are coming out with new product, we're coming out with new service, or where we are enhancing it, we take that feedback. And that feedback, we make sure it is factored into the reshaping of the service. Or the products.
So Rachel, I think in all the interviews that I've read about you, you come across as a very people person. And you've often said that digital transformation is not just about technology. It's even more so sometimes about the people. So how do you bring that personal passion as well as how do you empower customers and employees in this journey, in this continuous journey that we have?
Okay, so, you know, the what I just mentioned, what we just discussed, is about the customers.
Yeah.
How we make sure that customers are a part of the journey. Now, for the employees, we all come to work to serve the customer. And it is the employees that are going to drive the product definition, the product creation, and then the delivery of the products. So they are also an integral part of the journey. So it's about change management. Ensuring they know what the change is all about, knowing the role they are going to play in that change, and helping that the communication of that product, of that service, is well delivered. Okay, so we have a single head office, all right, at Marina. but I have branches all over the place. I have presence. The bank has presence outside Nigeria. So when the customers come to, say, Marina branch, or they go to investment house branch, I won't be there. All right? It's the tellers that we attend to the customers. It's the customer experience officer, relationship officer that we attend to the customers. So if those people are not part of the journey, then it's dead on arrival. All right? Customer ask a question. So what is this product all about? And my RM cannot talk about it. Right. My teller cannot talk about it. Then all the effort we have put into that product is a waste of time.
We need to translate the messaging and the passion to the...
So we have to make sure that the change management is very thorough and is very robust. And
it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Actually, change management is, you know, for every technology initiative or technology implementation, there are three things you need to worry about. There's the solution risk, there's the implementation risk, and then there's the adoption risk. The adoption risk is important. If you ask me, it's the most important risk, because that is where you need to drive organization change management. That is where you need to be sure that everyone from the top to the shop floor is comfortable with this change. They know what it is about. They know the value is going to deliver to the organization. They know the value is going to deliver to our customers. Without customers, we don't exist. So they need to know, and they need to know to sell it. They need to know how to communicate it. They need to know how to get customers to be comfortable. You know, as part of cyber risk, sometimes you have to put some kind of, constraint in place to help the customer to safeguard these funds. But if you don't explain that to the customer, it will just see it as unnecessary bottlenecks. Why am I having to put a pin? Right. This is my account. Why do I need to put extra? You need to gently explain to the customer why this is being done. All right? You need to let him be aware of the social engineering risks that are out there. But if you don't do all of this, customers may walk away and think that you are making banking difficult for them.
Yeah.
All right? So, employees, customers, communication is key. Change management is key. You just make sure that you need to, and then continuous learning. Make sure you constantly train your staff. There's no point in investing in AI if the employees don't know how to use it.
Yes.
They need to understand that there's a shift from what they were doing before to now what they are doing now. And they need to know how to manage in that transition.
That transition, yeah.
Exactly. So those are the things that...
So we spoke about customers and employees, but I think that those stakeholders will be your partners. Like, how do you work with fintechs, technology providers like Red Hat, and even startups, right? How do you work with them to accelerate this journey that you're driving?
Okay, so in everything that we do, is about partnership, is about collaboration. All the technologies I've mentioned, we couldn't have done it without active collaboration with the OEMs that owns those technologies. So Red Hat is one of them. IBM is another. Dell is another. All of them. So what we do is constantly partner with them. All right. For instance, where we wanted to go digital, and we're looking for systems, because digital is about speed. It's about performance. All right. So it meant moving away from the things we were using back then. It meant changing our core banking from a branch-based focus to a digital focus. And it meant looking for operating systems that would power that speed and performance. So we work with OEMs that will do that for us. In the area of OS, for instance, we partner with Red Hat because we wanted to move from some applications we saw that they thrive more in a Linux environment. So we partner with Red Hat. Then in the last 3-5 years, we've seen fintechs rise in Nigeria. And what fintechs have brought to the game is innovation. All right? So so things that either two will probably have thought of and say, nah, it's not going to work. We saw fintechs, you know, did it.
Yeah.
And so with them, we then partner with them. So we don't see them as competition now. We see them as partners, people that can help take more services to our customers. So InterSwitch is a fintech. We work with them. In the area of lending that I mentioned, we partner with a couple of fintechs, all right, to be able to drive the service that then turns lending from days, from weeks, from months to seconds.
Right.
All right, we partner with FinTech. So what we do is that from time to time, we organize summits just to see which startups are out there, what kind of innovation are out there. I think earlier in the year, we organized a very big FinTech summit where we brought, you know, innovators from around the country. And they came and, you know, a lot of innovative ideas were shared. And the bank actually paid, we rewarded the guys with the best innovations. And then we also picked from them some that we could partner with to help, you know, drive that dream to fruition. So that is what the bank does. We're constantly in search of innovative minds to partner with. And of course, OEMs that have very solid solutions, we partner with them.
Yeah. Rachel, so can you tell me what drives you? You're so passionate and so inspiring. So what is that that drives you? And is there anything that is a lesser known fact about you? Something that people don't know about you?
Okay, so when I started in IT, I didn't become a CIO overnight, all right? I started from IT education, so I was part of the training team. And there was something that attracted me then, you know, teaching people about programming tools. And I said I wanted to use the programming tools myself. All right. So when you sit with customers, they tell you their pain point, you go back and you build a solution that hitherto had not existed, but you've created and is solving a customer's problem. There's this thrill that comes that, oh,
I don't know,
I was part of that. All right. I did that. And, you know, when I joined the bank and I started as in the application solutions team. When you create products and that product is now earning the bank money, there's this thrill that comes with it. So that for me is one of the things that keeps me going. Challenges come. I'm not faced by challenges. I'm looking for solutions to the challenges. That is a trail for me. And technology has proven itself over and over again as a problem solver. So that is why I'm tech.
Fantastic. Wonderful. There are a lot of young professionals out there who look at you as a role model. So what will your one piece of personal advice would be for them?
Is to keep learning. Keep learning. Keep learning. Technology is everyday new things come out. Those things come out because people touch themselves to come out with solutions. And solutions don't come from watching TV or from, you know, playing around. It comes from in-depth study, in-depth curiosity that's
questioning.
Yes, questioning things. Are there better ways of doing these things? All right. So what I would say to young people is keep challenging yourself. Don't rest on yesterday's success. Constantly challenge yourself. What more can I do? How can I change these things? Oh, this person has moved this from this. How can I push the envelope further? That is what I will say to them. When you have that kind of mindset, it's a growth mindset, and you always be relevant.
Thank you so much, Rachel. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And I think from our conversation today, there are a lot of people who would be even more inspired and follow the tech part as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much.